Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to introduce to the Covenant community President Brad Voiles and Kelly Voiles. All right. So we've got some time here, and we thought a good way to kick off inauguration week would be for me to interview them so that we can get to know them better. So we're going to jump right in so we can get to all of the, I think, the most poignant and important things when it comes to personalities. So please state your full names.
Kelly Renee Beard Boyle.
Correct.
Brad Allen Voiles.
Is that correct? Correct. Please share, each of you answering, three words to describe where you grew up.
We did not hear these questions ahead of time.
No. So
this is real time.
Yeah.
Small, rural, beautiful.
Yes, very nice.
I feel like I need more than three words because there were so many different places. So I'll say many, beautiful, family, because where family is home is.
Love it. Great. Great. So as you can probably tell, we're sort of easing into the biographical phase here. We're going to move into some either-or questions after and some who is more likely questions. But we sit in this biographical section for a moment. What was your first job? Brad.
Again, rural. Anybody here know what detasseling corn, what that means? My farmer's in the house, 10 years old, summertime job. You ride on this machine that runs up and down the rows of corn and you pull out the tassels at the top. It all has to do with pollination of the corn, making the best corn possible. So, yeah, child labor.
For me, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, or that's that's the place that we lived the longest in my childhood, and there's an amusement park there that I worked at, and I worked in the games area, so it was my job to drum up business for the games.
Excellent. Very good. Kelly, approximately what age did your Christian faith become real to you?
I have a very clear memory at 4 years old, knocking on the bathroom door, because that's what kids do to their moms, telling her that I wanted to pray and invite Jesus into my heart. But I would say in terms of like really owning my faith, I would say college.
Great. Brad.
I definitely remember being 9 years old, Sunday school classroom. And then, yeah, definitely just a maturation of that through high school and college.
Great. When and where did you guys meet, Kelly?
I'm going to keep this short. We met Memorial Day weekend, 1996, in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Okay. He was sitting on a futon playing a guitar when I laid eyes on him. It was love at first sight.
I'm picturing him shirtless with hair down to his shoulders, right?
It was very much G-rated.
Brad, where was your first date?
Oh. Skater's Paradise, roller skating rink in Hoopston, Illinois, followed by pizza at Monocle's Pizza.
Love it.
You mean with Kelly?
I'm like, I don't remember any of that.
I did not understand the assignment with there. I thought you meant my first, like my first ever job and first ever date. You're talking about my first date with Kelly.
I thought the when did you guys meet sort of led into that.
Yeah, no. My apologies. I don't remember that person I went to Skater's Paradise. Our first date was, there's such a long, long story. Those of you who've been to our house have heard our story, but our first date involved a lunch at a Kenny Rogers Roasters. It involved walking up and down the rows at Target, identifying which toothpaste, which deodorant. It was just this odd little game of getting to know one another. We ended up at a coffee shop for dinner. And then at the end of the night, I totaled her car.
Wow. Okay. Kelly, why did you say yes to Brad when he proposed to you?
I love this question so much. So I was 28, almost 29 when he proposed. So I'd had a lot of first dates, none of them at Hoopston Skater Rink, but I said yes because Brad was a man in a sea of boys, I would say. And what I mean by that, I feel like this is important to clarify what I mean by that. He challenged me in all the important ways. Mentally, intellectually, I was so intrigued by his mind. My Hamilton fans, what are you looking for? We're looking for a mind at work. And he had it. He had it. But even more importantly than that was his heart for the Lord. I felt like I had found home in his heart and what his heart for the Lord was, and I had never experienced that before, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see Chris Bagby. Thank you, Chris. You're like.
So, Brad, why did you propose to Kelly?
I'm searching for Hamilton lyrics after she just did that. Let me preface this by saying to those of you who hope to be married someday, the person that you marry will be the person most instrumental in your sanctification. Okay? To entrust your heart to another person is no small thing. Because when you give them access to your heart, all your sin, all your weaknesses, how they handle that, it can be used to devastating effect, or it could be the most beautiful thing. I apologize. I cried at an all-employee meeting yesterday. I'm just wrecked this week, everybody, so I apologize. I'm so glad to do this. I've had a chance to speak to you all for years in different contexts. I really wanted you to meet this person because she has been the person most instrumental in my sanctification. She's the one who has shepherded my heart so carefully. Because we can take one another's weaknesses and wound, or we can shepherd and we can care. And we could launch into a whole dating talk if we wanted to about how quickly in dating we're too quickly. We give our hearts to other people when we shouldn't be doing it so soon. You need the security of the covenant of marriage. It's the only thing that can really handle this level of it's not just about sexual intimacy, that needs to be protected by the covenant of marriage. It's about this level of heart and emotional intimacy. And so when you find that person who's going to shepherd your heart well, I mean, she's beautiful, she's smart, she's funny, all that thing that's obvious, but why did I say yes after getting to know her? Or why did I ask? Because how she was shepherding my heart and how that's been played out. Mm-hmm. And this last year, it's been incredible through this the craziness of this past year. Mm-hmm. So
love it. Yeah. Good. All right. Let's all right, let's get deep here. Some either ors. Let's go Kelly first, Brad. Good? Pie or cake?
What?
Pie or cake?
I thought you said fire cake. And I was like,
unpack that one.
I'm going to go with cake.
Pie or cake?
Cake.
Cake.
Cake has a higher ceiling. Pie has a higher floor. Uh-huh. Great cake beats great pie, so I'll go cake.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains.
German Shepherd or toy poodle?
Neither.
German Shepherd.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Tea.
Perfect seat location in a movie theater?
Same answer, probably. Two-thirds of the way back, very middle.
Perfect.
With one of the speakers, in a row with the speakers on either side.
Love it. Deadliest or most exotic animal you've seen in the wild?
A bear, I guess.
Brown, black?
I saw a grizzly bear out a car window. Not like at a safari, but like in the mountains. Mm.
No, that counts. Really. That's strong.
A moose? I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw Mr. T in the Atlanta airport.
Yeah.
And I saw him in the Cleveland airport. How amazing is that?
Finish this sentence. Sushi is...
not for everyone.
Something I wish I loved so I could be cool like everyone else.
Okay, I need you to close your eyes for this one. Okay. One of your kids pulls up their sleeve to show you their brand new tattoo. It's an old school traditional heart with two banners flowing through it that say Mom and Dad. The response you're having right now to that picture.
I mean, you're the one that has to live with it. You might want to start a savings account for when you want to have it removed.
Choices have consequences.
And I have to ask, in your mind, which child did you picture doing this?
I don't know.
I was going Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a
toss-up.
Were you thinking
Kate?
I was kind of thinking Kate.
I love it.
I don't know.
First to leave or last one's there?
Both.
Last one there.
Front row or back row of the classroom?
Back row.
I have to pick one. Yeah,
one,
back.
Back. Okay. And this one will I think demonstrate degree of your sanctification. Christmas lights, colored or white?
White.
White.
If you could learn the truth about one of these two things, who killed JFK or what happened to Amelia Earhart?
Amelia Earhart.
go with JFK.
Nice. Okay, and we'll move through these quickly. This is a who is more likely. Okay. Of the two of you, who is more likely to think the car will fit in a parallel parking space it most definitely will not fit into?
Probably me.
Probably Brad. Who's more likely to
It will fit.
Do what?
It always fits.
Because you guys are... There you go. Who's more likely to send a meal back when eating out? Brad. Who's more likely to get misty at a sentimental commercial about kids growing up? Who's more likely to make you late for church? Who is more likely to laugh in a very serious situation? Okay. Brad, what have you seen since you've been president of Covenant College that has made you love the college more?
We are a product of our inputs. I like to say that discipleship is what you bump up against the most. And being in the role that I was in for years, I had so many inputs with students and faculty and staff. And so I knew what I loved about Covenant, but then those inputs have begun to expand. It started in 2018 as our oldest son, Kobe, started coming to school here, and now each of our kids have either been here or are here. And those were new inputs, more reasons to love Covenant College because we saw what was happening in our own kids' lives. So I think when I think about this past year, it's just been almost an overwhelming number of new inputs externally that when you're president, people, good, bad, or ugly, people want to tell you their thoughts about the college, and it's been overwhelmingly good. And so I think that's been a beautiful thing to hear about the donors and the alumni and the parents and the friends of the college that are just excited about what's happening here, about what Covenant's done in their lives, what's Covenant doing in their kids' lives. And so that just has warmed my heart so much. One of my favorite little mini stories in Scripture is in 1 Samuel 23. And David is at his lowest. He's on the run for his life, and it says that Jonathan went to him and strengthened his hand in God. And the actual Hebrew there is he put David's hand in God's hand. I think what's been happening with these inputs, as I'm hearing this, there's days it's like, oh, boy, things are hard, and you're trying to figure this problem out, and you're trying to think about that, but it's this constant encouragement of people who believe when you don't always believe, who put your hand in God's hand and remind you of his promises. And so I think that's been the greatest gift, are these new inputs, these people that are strengthening my hand in God's hand, and I think you all get to benefit from that. Here, you have the opportunity to put one another's hands in God's hands, to remind one another of God's promises. You get to do that for the rest of your life in all your different contexts. So I think that's been a real highlight of this past year.
Yeah. Kelly, what's this past year been like for you?
It's been amazing. It has been stretching and growing, but so encouraging. When Brad was named as the interim, we processed a lot because it's a huge job. And one of the things that we talked about, we are people who process while we walk. So we were on one of our evening walks and just talking about, like, okay, we're the interim. What does that mean? Or he's the interim. What does that mean for us? And we felt like we had to approach it as though, like, everything in, regardless of how long it might last, and if this was a season that the Lord was putting us in, or if it was going to extend beyond a season, that we needed to invest completely, no matter the risk that was involved and the cost that was involved. And it was a little scary because I felt like, are people going to think they're being imposters or they're too big for their shoes or whatever? There was risk involved. But we felt like that's what God calls you to. He calls you to use all of your talents, not to bury them, but to use those talents. And then when he was named, of course, it was all of the emotions. And like Brad just talked about, experiencing covenant through the eyes of other people. And that's something that we've gotten to enjoy as we've traveled. And like, you go and meet people and they're huge fans of covenant. And you're like, other people know about us? Other people know what's happening on that mountain? Like, we've loved covenant for a long, long time. But to hear other people talk about covenant and their love for this place is amazing. And I think the last thing I would say is what an encouragement it has been, the response from you as students, the feeling that I feel with the faculty and staff of pulling together in the same direction, that like, let's go, let's make this happen. So we have felt so loved, and that's a beautiful thing.
Love it. That's beautiful. Thanks. Brad, this is the final question that I'll ask you. What would you love to hear from a Covenant graduate finishing this statement? My 4 years at Covenant College taught me.
That I don't have to be afraid. That Jesus is bigger. Jesus is greater. Jesus is more durable, more faithful, more trustworthy than anything else. I'm going to expand on that on Friday, so I'm trying not to give just a teaser for what I'm trying to talk about on Friday at the inauguration. That'd be the...
Yeah, great, thank you. We're right on time. Kelly, last question. How can we pray for Brad? And how can we pray for you together?
Pray that he remembers himself, what he just shared with you, that he would remember that it is God who upholds the universe with the word of his power and not Brad Voiles, that Christ is preeminent in all things. Pray that he remembers that. Pray for his heart, because that's, again, this summer as we talked through so many things, he would say, when I remember that it's the Lord who holds all things, I feel such peace. But when I think it's up to me, I'm filled with so much fear and anxiety. So pray that he's able to remember who holds the universe. And for us as a couple, pray for so many things. Pray that we have time to connect with one another, that those evening walks are not few and far between, but are something that happen regularly, and that we would love each other well as we walk into this new season of life and marriage. We became empty nesters at the same time that he was named president, and so we have a lot of new things going on.
Yeah.
If what we're doing here is true, if this mission
as aspirational as it is true, then we have to expect attack. That Satan does not want what I just talked about, what we just talked about, to happen. And so we should expect that. And so, yes, please, please pray for me. Please pray for us. Please pray for one another, your faculty and your staff. What we're doing here is kingdom-minded. It's powerful. And so, yeah, we should expect attacks. So, yeah, pray for our protection. Pray for us to lean into the means of grace, to be daily practicing the presence of Jesus Christ. So thank you.
Amen. Let's do that now. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and King, Father, we are privileged to be able to come before you as brothers and sisters, knit together by the blood of Jesus, as your children. We, by a virtue of being made your children, have access to your throne room. We know that Jesus intercedes for us, seated at your right hand. So, Father, we come boldly before you, and I ask for your blessing upon Brad and Kelly. Lord, will you please be gracious to them? Will you give them tender hearts? Will you give them soft hearts? Will you give them wisdom, Lord, that far exceeds any that they could drum up on their own? I ask, Lord, that you would please keep forefront in Brad's mind the realities that we just talked about, that you indeed are the creator and sustainer of all things, that you hold this world, this college, and all of our affairs squarely in your hand. Lord, that you have called him to a high task, but it's one that you will equip him to do. And the greatest equipping that he has is the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Father, will you not let him feel a burden that is unduly large for what lies before him? Because, Lord, nothing is too large for you. Please don't let him forget that. And I pray, Father, that you would bless he and Kelly and their marriage, that you would draw them closer and closer, that their walks, their times together, that they would become even more fruitful and beautiful. Lord, that the weight of the job, the travel, the busyness would be something that, instead of pulling them apart and making things thinner, would instead have the exact opposite effect. They would draw closer and become thicker and more beautiful together. Lord, will you please protect them from the slings of the evil one? Will you protect them from the doubts and the questions that may arise in their own hearts? And Lord, will you be gracious to them and watch over them, strengthen their marriage and their family? And Father, we as a community give you great thanks. We rejoice at this inauguration. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you have raised Brad up to lead as the president of Covenant College. And we ask him, and we ask you to empower him to do so with grace and wisdom, always putting Jesus first. We give you great praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.